Long before statins, long before stents, when heart disease was the number one killer, it was four times more deadly than it is today. Part of that is because we had no real treatments, no statins, no stents, no bypass surgery, and so food was the best medicine we had. In the pharmacies of Rome and Greece, they even kept extra virgin cold-pressed olive oil on the shelves for patients with what they called hardening of the arteries. Doctors would send people down to pick up a bottle, almost like it was a prescription. And then research began to notice something else. In certain parts of the world, small towns and villages around the Mediterranean, for example, people seemed to live longer with far less heart disease. It wasn't genetics, because their cousins who moved into the cities eating a westernized diet developed heart disease much earlier. Those scientists didn't stop there. They followed not just Mediterranean villages, but other small villages around the world where people ate traditional foods, often those same patterns for generations, from Finland to Japan. They tracked adult men for decades and saw a striking difference. In places where diets were rich in saturated fats, arteries clogged early and heart disease was common. In places where diets looked like what we now call the Mediterranean diet, high in fruits, vegetables, olive oil, legumes, and fish, heart disease was rare. At the time, diet was our only weapon. It gave us a clue, and it gave us hope. I know this literature well, and while you won't often hear it promoted on social media because saying "eat this way" doesn't sell a lot of supplements, the evidence is solid. Eating this way decreases your risk, but it is nothing like the therapy we have today. Food is important. It's empowering. It's the thing you, as a patient, can do every day to change your health. And we cannot ignore it, because here's one truth. Bad diet, filled with ultra-processed food and saturated fat, accelerates atherosclerosis, drives heart disease, and raises the risk of cancers. And that's what today's episode is about. Why it's not food as medicine, but food and medicine, together. And why salmon is, no matter how good it tastes, salmon isn't a stent. Today, we're going to make sense of the madness of diet and heart disease. I am your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q. 4Q University, where we bust a few myths, make sense of the madness, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. The Mediterranean diet, if you've been following my podcast for a while, isn't one single thing. It is not from one single area. It's a pattern. Lots of fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, olive oil, whole grains, fish, little red meat, modest dairy, and wine in exceeding moderation. It's not a fad. It's based on real populations, and we have decades of data showing it improved cardiovascular outcomes. One of the most famous studies was the Lyon Heart Study. This randomized secondary prevention trial took patients who already had their first heart attack and randomized either to the Mediterranean-style diet or what the French called a prudent cardiac diet. And here's the timing. This study took place just as statins were coming onto the market. So while doctors were beginning to prescribe cholesterol-lowering drugs, Lyon showed that diet itself could also have a dramatic effect. And the results were stunning. Over about 4 years, the Mediterranean diet group had a 70% reduction in recurrent heart attacks or recurrent cardiac events. This wasn't just better cholesterol numbers. It was fewer heart attacks and fewer deaths. It was a combination of lower cholesterol and less inflammation. But let's be clear, those patients were highly motivated, and this was a carefully constructed study. They weren't just eating salmon once a week. Their entire dietary pattern changed. And you can imagine, Lyon, France, changing from butter to olive oil wasn't always an easy sell. Later, in larger studies like what we call the PREDIMED trial in Spain, confirmed the benefits. In high-risk but otherwise healthy individuals, the Mediterranean diet lowered rates of heart attack, strokes, and cardiovascular deaths by 30%. That's impressive. It proves food matters, but it's not magic. While those relative risk reductions are large, the absolute numbers are still smaller than what we see with medications in high-risk groups. And here's the challenge. Can you sustain it? When we talk about dietary adherence, we usually mean people are able to stick with it 70% of the time or more. That's good. It's not perfect, because we're not perfect. I'll give you a personal example. I follow the Mediterranean diet with pretty strong adherence, but I also have hypercholesterolemia with a strong family history of heart disease. Even with my diet, I could not get my low-density lipoprotein, my LDL, below 180. But with two drugs, Zetia and Crestor, my LDL is now in the 40s. That's the difference. The Mediterranean diet is powerful, but for some of us, especially those with genetic risk, food alone isn't enough. Let's talk about the PISA heart study, which stands for Progression of Early Subclinical Atherosclerosis. It adds another layer of our understanding. This was a long-term project launched in 2010 by the Spanish National Center for Cardiovascular Research and Santander Bank. They followed middle-aged adults who felt perfectly healthy. Using advanced imaging, researchers found that more than 60% already had measurable plaque in at least one artery. The lesson? Atherosclerosis begins silently, decades before symptoms. It tracks directly with ApoB and LDL cholesterol. The Mediterranean diet can slow that progression, and statins can dramatically reduce it. But by the time you're waiting for the stent, the disease has been smoldering for years. When you see these young men on the internet claiming that they can eat whatever they want because they're metabolically healthy, they are slowly layering atherosclerotic plaque down into all of their arteries, and you won't manifest it for years to come. Now let's compare that to medicine, and we're going to start using what's called the Jupiter trial, which looked at rosuvastatin, Crestor, the medicine I take, and it looked in people with normal LDL cholesterol, but elevated C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation. The trial had to be stopped early because the benefit was so strong. Rosuvastatin reduced major cardiovascular events by 44%. And unlike a diet study where adherence is hit or miss, all you had to do was take a pill. So while the Mediterranean diet lowered events by 30%, statins cut that nearly in half, and it did it in people who didn't even have high cholesterol. And then there's the Dean Ornish program. You probably heard people say that the Ornish diet reversed heart disease. But here's the nuance. It wasn't just a diet. Yes, it was very restrictive, very low fat, vegetarian-style diet. But participants also quit smoking, took statins, took blood pressure pills, and did something I love, yoga. So was it the food? Some of it, sure. Was it the medicine? Absolutely. Was it the stress reduction and lifestyle change? Without a doubt. Ornish deserves credit for showing that lifestyle matters, but let's not pretend his diet alone unclogged arteries. It was food and medicine, not food as medicine. Which brings me to the scam portion of my podcast, because I have to have that. Barbara O'Neill from Australia has no medical education and has been banned from giving health advice in her country, and yet travels around the world charging thousands of dollars for her seminars. One of the things she claims is that cayenne pepper can open your arteries and stop a heart attack in its tracks. This is complete fiction. There is zero evidence that cayenne pepper prevents, treats, or reverses heart attacks. None. Cayenne is a spice. It makes chili taste better. It might make your nose run, but it will not reopen blocked coronary arteries. My God, if it did, we would be using it in every hospital in the nation. She claims that the cholesterol guidelines were lowered just to make money for drug companies. Really? Because my three-month supply of rosuvastatin cost me $2.36. Meanwhile, Barbara O'Neill charges thousands for her seminars. Tell me again, who's profiting here? And here's the kicker. She denies that ApoB and LDL cholesterol are the primary drivers of atherosclerosis, which every major cardiologist society in the world, from the American Heart Association to the European Society of Cardiology, agrees that ApoB is the causal agent of atherosclerosis. Barbara O'Neill's denial isn't science. It's salesmanship. And Barbara O'Neill belongs in the same category as the shirtless salesman hawking mango-flavored salt packets. She isn't offering health. She's selling false hope, dressed up as empowerment, and charging dearly to do it. Now let's make this real. If you're in the middle of a heart attack, grilled salmon is not going to open your artery either. That's what stents and bypass surgery do. Food prevents disease greatly, but not completely. Medicine and procedures treat it and can help sometimes reverse it. The tragedy is when people confuse the two, thinking olive oil replaces a statin or nuts replace a stent. They don't. The Mediterranean diet is the most evidence-based eating program we have for cardiovascular and many other types of health. It reduces events, improves survival, and it tastes good, but it does not replace medicine. The Lyon and PREDIMED studies show us that food can lower risk by 30 to 70%. The PISA study showed us that plaque forms silently long before symptoms. The JUPITER study showed us that statin lowers events by nearly half. And Ornish showed us that lifestyle works, but only with medicine alongside it. And when a heart attack hits, only stent and surgeries save lives. The truth is simple. Food is the foundation. Medicine is the reinforcement. Together, they're unbeatable. This has been episode 3 of Food Isn't a Prescription Pad. Next time, when beans aren't metformin, how legumes lower blood sugar and not like medicine. I'm Dr. Terry Simpson, your chief medical explanationist. Remember, salmon is delicious, but it is not a stent. Fork U is produced by Producer Girl Production, and it is advertised out through the world and all things audio from Simpler Media and my good friend, the pod god, Mr. Evo Terra. For references and more, please visit Your Doctor's Orders and ForkU.com. And don't forget to check out my newsletter on Substack, where I dive into deeper times with these topics. And here's the disclaimer. I am a board-certified physician, but I am not your physician. This podcast is for education, not for personal medical advice. Please talk to your Western-trained, board-certified doctor and a dietitian before making any changes that will affect your health or your diet, because we want you to be around, because we have a lot more episodes to go. All right, everybody. Have a good week. Enjoy your salmon. I like mine baked. Hey, Evo. You know, these people who think if you put enough olive oil on a salad, you'll avoid a statin or stent, that's like thinking sunscreen protects you after you've been burned. Food helps prevent the fire, but medicine turns that out. And as for cayenne pepper, that's seasoning, not surgery. Anyone charging thousands otherwise is a scam artist. I'm going to stick with the salmon. Maybe I'll put some cayenne pepper and olive oil on it, and my $2.36 statin. Anyway, hey, buddy. I'm kind of wondering what food you're up to these days, because, hey, we got about 900 more episodes of Fork U to go before, we have to get a stent.
Wait. You put Crestor on your salmon? Man, physicians are weird.